tonight, the book of Revelations, chapter 6. Book of Revelations, chapter 6. And what we're going to do and what we are doing is we're looking at the seven-sealed book. And what we've done, and we started this last week, what we've done is we've looked at seal 1 through 4. And what I told you seal 1 through 4 was, is it's a kind of a general look or a general tribulation that's on both saved and lost. The only problem is when you say the tribulation, most people think you're talking about the great tribulation on the lost. I'm not talking about that. But what these four seals represented, and I'm not going to go back and re-preach it, I'm just going to remind you what they were. They're given to us in verses 1 through 8 of Revelation chapter 6. The first seal was false religion. That's about anybody will tell you that. Most people will take that position, I believe. But most generally what they do is they put it way out there in the future somewhere. There's false religion now. There's a lot of false religion now. There's always been false religion. So we're not waiting on that seal to start happening. It's happening. And what we use to help us interpret this was Matthew 24. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 all teach the same thing. So you use those Gospels to help you interpret this particular text. And that's what we did when we was there. I'm not going to go back and repeat it. So false religion was represented here in our text by a white horse. Now when you go over in the book of Revelation, Jesus comes out of heaven on a white horse. So, of course, that's reason why we know it's false. Another reason why we know it's false religion, because it's people attempting to mimic Christ, to appear like Christ, to appear to represent Christ. But they're false Christ and false apostles and preach false gospels. People ask me that all the time. They say, well, where did all the religions come from? Where did all the different churches come from? They come from false. I mean, the devil, he's very religious too. And as true as sure as there are true churches and the true gospel, there's also false gospels and false preachers. And you got to realize that. You got to test everything. The Bible says to prove all things, which means to test all things. I don't want you to believe a thing that I tell you just because, well, Jeff said it. You check it out and see whether it's so. I want you to see it. When you see it yourself, what that does is gives you personal convictions. So what I do, I give you the evidence. You weigh the evidence and you ask God and you search it and see whether it's so. And that's what the Bereans did in the book of Acts. It says they received the word with readiness of mind. Then they searched the scriptures to see whether it was so. And I want to tell you something. When you see the truths yourself in scripture, it gives you convictions. I preach with convictions. I got convictions. When I preach it, that means I've studied it out and I believe it. And I believe it's true. And what I do is I give you the evidence for it, and then you weigh it by Scripture and see where it's so. And when you see it yourself, that gives you convictions. You need to have some convictions about what you believe, okay? So this first horseman that's given to us in Revelation 6 in verses 1 and 2 represents false religion. Seal number 2 in verses 3 and 4, which I gave you last week, represents a red horse, which picture a picture of bloodshed, which is a picture of wars and rumors of wars. That's what it's a picture of. That's seal number 2. Seal number 3 in verses 5 and 6 was pictured by a black horse. And, of course, that was a picture of famine. There have been famines back in the day when this was written. There was famines before this. There's famines today. There will always be these things. I mean, we're not waiting on these things to happen. And these things are been happening and are continue to happen. And they will continue to until King Jesus comes and the book opens the book. That's our future right here. When he breaks these seals, that brings all of these things to a close. And our kingdom will open up. There won't be no death in our kingdom. There won't be no sickness in our kingdom. There won't be no false religion. There won't be no wars or there won't be no famines in our kingdom. But that's what this seven-sealed book represents. But these events are happening now as of the first three seals. You got it? wars, false religion, wars, rumors of wars, and famines. And then we move down for our fourth horseman. And remember, this fourth horseman is described as having a... let's go ahead and look down at it here in verse 7 and 8. He opened this fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. It says it was pale. You look it up in the Greek, it's a greenish hue. Kind of a greenish look to it. And it's a picture of death. And what it is death other than by natural causes. It's pestilence. Now, what I did last week is I used Matthew 24, and I hooked with all of these right here. Matthew 24, 4 through 8, tells you the exact same thing, what these represent. Everybody got the first four seals: false religion, wars, rumors of wars, famines, and pestilence. Now, what am I telling you? That's already happening. It's been happening. Will continue to happen till King Jesus sets up his kingdom. Now, tonight is another tribulation that we're going to look at, and it's on a particular group of people. It's on a particular group of people here in Revelation chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 9 through verse 11, which is what we're going to be looking at this evening. Remember the first four seals of the general tribulation that's going on right now. It's going on right now. False religion's happening. Wars and rumors of wars are happening. Famines are happening. Pestilence is happening. Can you clearly see we're not waiting on that to happen? It's growing, it's escalating, and it'll continue to happen till Jesus comes. This fifth seal is also happening. This fifth seal is also happening. And the fifth seal is persecution of God's people. Persecution of God's people. Let's go ahead and look. Now, this is all I'm going to look at tonight, verses 9 through 11. And because next week, seal number 6 is the rapture. Seal number 7 is the destruction of the earth. That's what it is. It's the seventh seal will be divided into seven trumpets, then into seven bowls. You talk about wrath falling, that's what we're going to be looking at. You got that? So Revelation chapter 6, as we'll look at next week, represents the rapture, and then the seventh seal represents the destruction. So those are what we'll be looking on later. I say I can't go into the rapture tonight. Does everybody understand why I can't go into the seventh one tonight? Both of those requires a lot of explanation. But if you remember this seven seal book, it helps your thought process. That's why I'm going over it so much, so that you will know it. Let's go ahead and read what we'll be looking at tonight. Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? And avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth." And white robes were given unto every one of them. What color robes? That's all you see in Revelation. Everybody that's in heaven has on what kind of robe again? They all have on white robes, which pictures the righteousness of the saints. Not their righteousness. Whose righteousness does it picture? Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness. That's how you get saved. You trust Jesus, he gives you his righteousness. That's what the white robes are a picture of in Revelation. When you see God's people depicted, they're always half white. How to get white robes? They got white robes through the blood of the Lamb. Okay? That's how it happens. And that's the only way you can have the righteousness that you need. It says, verse 10, "And they cried with a loud voice, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not avenge our blood to them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them. And it was said that they should rest for a little season." Rest for a little what? A little season. And, beloved, we're in that time right now of the little season. Rest for a little season. So it's not going to be a rest forever, but it's going to be for a little season. You rest for a little season. Until their fellow, I want you to notice this now, until their fellow servants, also their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So that means there's other people going to be killed. Did you get what I just said? He said, rest for a little season until your others that's going to be killed, until that takes place. So that means what this seal refers to, this fifth seal, it's a tribulation on God's people. And it's going on now. And you look back in the Bible days, it was going on then. You can go all the way back to the Old Testament if you'd like. God's people's always been persecuted here on this earth. They always have, and they always will be. You can actually trace the persecution of God's people all the way back to the garden if you'd like. Let's turn to the book of 1 John chapter 3. Book of 1 John chapter 3. Thought this was pretty interesting. The world has always persecuted the saved, and they always will persecute the saved. 1 John chapter 3, notice, we don't realize when the first murder was, don't we? First murder happened in the garden. And notice what happens here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, let's go ahead and begin at verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain. Not as who? Not as Cain. Now we know who Cain is, Cain and Abel. You know, Cain was a lost man. Abel was a saved man. Did Cain persecute Abel? He sure did. He killed him. He killed him. God, Abel was like a martyr, wasn't he? He was killed for the cause. Notice what it says. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Who was Cain of? What's it say? Cain was of the wicked one. Who's the wicked one? That's the devil. Cain wasn't a saved man. Cain was a lost man. And Cain was jealous of Abel, and he slew Abel. Out of envy, really. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, he slew his brother. Wherefore he slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. So there you have really the first example, all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 4, of God's people being persecuted. Abel was put to death. Abel was killed. And why was that? Because his deeds were righteous and his brothers were evil. Think about that. So persecuted God's people then. Turn to the book of Revelation chapter 12 now. Let's go back and we'll show you some more of it. So this fifth horseman, or I'm not a horseman, but this fifth seal is a picture of persecution of God's people. Could it get worse here in America? I'm asking. Could it get worse? Yeah, it could get worse. Right now, we're able to worship publicly. You can go to other parts of the world today, and they'd put you in jail or kill you. You need to thank God for the freedom of religion that we have. I'm serious. You need to thank God for it, because that could change real fast, and they could begin to persecute God's people here. In a lot of countries, they're still persecuting today. In a lot of nations, they're still persecuting God's people today. And it's really something to consider. We need to thank God for what we have. Okay, in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation 12 talks about kind of a history. And I don't got time to go in Revelation 12 very far, so I'm not. So what I'm going to do is move down to verse 15. And I want you to notice what happens. It says, "And the serpent cast out his mouth, out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood." Now in Revelation 12, the woman's a picture of Israel. And it says, "And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth." Now look at verse 17. Here's what I'm after. Here's what I want you to get. "And the dragon was wroth with the woman." Through woman, or through Mary, came King Jesus. Through Israel, you can also say that, through Israel came King Jesus. And it says here in verse 17, "The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed." Now, I want you to notice in the latter part of verse 17 who it says that the devil is at war with. Have you get my question? I want you to look at verse 17, and I want you to notice who it says that the devil is at war with. What's it say? It gives their characteristics. Here's how they're described. "They are they that keep the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Who did I just describe to you? That's God's people. That's describing us also. God's people are those that keep the testimony of, or have the testimony of Jesus Christ because we trusted Him as our Savior. If you're here tonight and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, guess you have the testimony of Jesus Christ. But what else do? You seek to keep His commands. I mean, if someone's truly born again, do they seek to mind the Lord? They sure do. That's another characteristic of God's people. Not only do they have the testimony of Jesus, but they also seek to keep His commandments. And that's who the dragon is at war with. That's who the devil is at war with. That's how he knows who God's people are. He don't know you because, you know, you got a big 4-foot cross hanging around your neck, or you got a shirt on that says, "I'm a Christian" on the back. That's not how he knows who God's people are. He knows God's people because they have the testimony of Jesus Christ and they seek to keep His commandments because they love Him. All God's people said. That's how He knows who they are. And then He's at war with them. He's at war with them. He can't take your salvation from you. He knows that. But He wants to render you ineffective. One of the reasons why He tempts you so bad is so that you'll fall into sin and destroy your name. He can't take my salvation from me, but I want to tell you something. If I would fall into certain kinds of sin, I could ruin my name. If I ruin my name, I'd ruin my what? Ruin my ministry. You know, the Bible said in the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, if the salt loses its savor, if the saved person lose their testimony, it says they're henceforth good for nothing. So what it says, good for nothing as far as what? Being a witness. As far as being a witness. So that's what it's speaking of in our text. That's how he knows who God's people are. They keep the testimony of Christ, or they have the testimony of Christ, and they keep the commandments. So that's how he knows who they are. Someone that's not serving the Lord or just a Christian in name only, he don't fool with them. Why would he? You let a sleeping dog lie, don't you? There ain't no use fooling. But if you get active serving Jesus, you get on fire for the Lord, you have the testimony of Jesus, and you keep His commandments, He'll come after you with everything you got, with everything He has. He does. And you might as well be ready for that. But you know what? Do you fear Him? No, no. The Lord will take care of His people. The Lord always has took care of His people, and He'll continue to do. What He wants us to be is to be faithful. What He wants us to be is to be faithful. That's what He wants. Serve Him. Serve Him. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. So that's what this fifth seal is. It's persecution of God's people. And you see it throughout the Bible. You had it in the Old Testament. You have it in the New Testament. You have it in the Dark Ages. You have it all the way down to today. God's people has always been persecuted on this earth. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, notice what it says. Here's God's people are described. It says in verse 36, others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. Think about that. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Sawn asunder means sawed in half. And I don't know this for sure, but some think that's referring to Hezekiah, that he was, or one of Isaiah, I think it was, one of the prophets that was sawed in half. Sawn asunder is what it's referring to. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. It's describing God's people. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. What's he describing in verse 30? He said, persecution of God's people. That's this fifth seal. It's describing it not only in Revelations, but in Hebrews and in other places. And notice what it says in verse 38, of whom this world was not worthy. Of whom this world was not worthy. Talking about God's people. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. That's what it records. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. I'm going to turn you to these because I have to, because we're just dealing with one seal, and it's persecution of the saved. It could amp up in America. I wouldn't doubt if it, I wouldn't doubt it, would you? You have it in other parts of the world. That's what it says in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, I think it is. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, watch what this says. I want you to get this. That we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So it says you're going to have much what? Much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So it tells us that there's going to be tribulations. That's hardships. That's afflictions. It tells us that in Revelation chapter 6, and also tells us that in Matthew chapter 24. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Remember I turned you to Matthew 24 last week? I want you to turn there again. The fifth seal is also mentioned in Matthew 24 like the other four was. It says in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Everybody see that? Verse 7 said, nation will rise against nation. That's wars and rumors of wars. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now I want you to underline the word afflicted. That word afflicted there is the word translated tribulation. In verse 21, look at verse 21, there shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time. And then in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the word tribulation is that word afflicted. So he says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted or go through a tribulation. That's talking about God's people. And notice what it says they'll do to them. They shall kill you. They shall kill you. And you shall be hated. I mean, we expect everybody to love us. Not according to this book. Everybody's not going to love God's people. You serve the Lord. That's going to offend some folks. And especially during these last days, it's going to offend some folks. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. So he's talking about this same thing. See, all I'm doing is what I did last week. I'm showing you the seals in Revelation 6. I'm using this text in Matthew 24 to interpret it, to help us with it. Jesus taught it. He said they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted. All the apostles died martyr's death. The only exception may have been John. But you think Paul was beheaded and Simon Peter was hung and all of them were put to death in some fashion or another. They were delivered up to be afflicted. You look at, if you know anything about history, you look back in the Dark Ages, it's estimated that 50 million Christians were put to death in the Dark Ages. Think about it. That's what they went through. They were beheaded. They were hung. They were beaten. It was done by two main. It was done by Rome under the Caesars. The Caesars persecuted Christianity, didn't they? You remember Nero? They would had all them crosses along the road and they would hang him. Remember that? But they've also persecuted, Rome still is persecuting through the popes. They also persecute through the popes. If you know anything about the Pope's history, he has a bloody history. He has a bloody history. In the year 400 through the year 1200, it's called the Dark Ages. It's estimated that 50 million Christians were put to death for the cause of Christ. And that was by false religion plus a bunch of others. God's people, what are you telling us all this gloomy? Because God's people historically have always been persecuted. It goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. Israel, was it persecuted in the Old Testament? Sure was. Was Jesus persecuted? Was his disciples persecuted? Was the early churches persecuted? Yeah, it's always been. We live in a really unique time in history. We have freedom of religion, but we really don't appreciate it. We really don't appreciate it like we should. Sometimes when I pray, I say, Lord, thank you for the freedom of religion. I ain't worried about someone kicking that door in and breaking us up, are you? Right now, I'm not worried about getting arrested. But I can tell you something, beloved, it could change real quick. This is a rare time. And how often do you ever thank the Lord for the freedom of religion that you have in Christ? How often do you really thank Him? I mean, I'm glad someone ain't got me in jail or in chains. I'm glad I'm loose, able to preach on the radio, able to preach on the internet. I'm glad of it. And you should be too. You should thank God for the great blessing of having these things. If I want you to do something for me. You probably don't have this book, but I want you to look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. Look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. I think it's a free download on the internet. Look it up. And it's a book this thick, and it tells you about all the different martyrs that were killed for the cause of Christ. I read about one. I couldn't remember his name. That's why I really don't want to mention him, because I'd like to remember his name. But one of the things that was said about him, they were bringing him to the stake to be burnt, and one of the men that was passing or was standing by him said, he looked as happy as a man is going to his wedding. That's what it said. They considered it an honor to die for the cause. Burn at stakes, hung, persecuted. Rome under the Caesars persecuted. Rome under the popes persecuted. They did too. I looked his name up, Pope John Paul. I can't remember the date. I don't know if I wrote it down for you, but he apologized for the atrocities of their past. Apologized for the atrocities of their past. Rome under the Caesars persecuted. Rome under the popes persecuted. And that was called the Inquisitions. You can look up the Inquisitions online and see how they tortured people to get them to recant their faith in Jesus. It's a horrible thing. And that's the reason why John Paul studied it out. He was a pope, and he apologized for the atrocities of the past. Think about that. That's an admittance to doing it. Bloody history. But, beloved, these people paid the ultimate price, didn't they? They were faithful. You know, the Scripture says, be thou faithful. What else does it say? Be thou faithful unto death. That sounds funny to me. I mean, today it's hard to get people just faithful doing just common, normal, easy things, isn't it? Back then, you knew if you named a name, it's going to cost. That's why the Scripture says, count the cost. Count the cost. You follow me. May cost you friends. You follow me. It may cost you your life. It may cost you your business. So you knew when you got in. You knew when you got in, it costed. So when you got in, guess how you got? I like to say it this way. You got all in. Any more God's people is not all in. Too involved with too many other things. Your priorities are not spiritual, things. Let's turn back to Revelation 6. I'm almost done. See why I didn't do the other one? I can't wait to get the other one, but this one has to go. We got to remember our forefathers that died for the cause. Back to Revelation chapter 6. Notice verse 10 and 11 again. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, they're crying. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Judgment day is coming, isn't it? And white robes were given unto them, that it was said that they should rest for a little season. Now, right now, beloved, that's the time frame that we're in. We're in this time of a little season. I don't know how long it's going to be. People ask me all the time, Jeff, when do you think the Lord's coming? I don't know. And if anybody tells you that they know, just don't pay a bit of attention in the world to it, because they don't know either. But it's a little season. It's not going to be as long as it has been. It's coming. And the main thing is that you need to be ready. Now, notice what else it says. White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said that they should rest for a little season until. Everybody say until. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Well, he gives them white robes here in verse 11. Everybody in heaven has one on. Now turn to Revelation 16. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to stop. Revelation 16. Now, I want you to get this. Now, don't tune me out yet. I want you to get this part of it. Revelation chapter 16. Now, when we're over in Revelation 16, He's dropping it. He's dropping down His judgment in Revelation 16. Now, He does it in other chapters. I just ain't got time to explain them all. He does it in chapter 8 and chapter 9. Then 10 through 15, He tells you why He's doing it. Then in chapter 16, He picks up telling you about the judgment again. Are you ready? Now, I want you to notice what happens here. Revelations chapter 16, I want you to notice verses 3 through 6. It says, verse 3, I want you to get this. And I'm going to ask you a question. Before I read what I'm going to read, I want to ask you why is God so angry? Why is this judgment so great? And He tells you why that is in verses 3 through verse 6. Are you ready? Verse 3, and a second angel poured out his vial. A vial is a bowl. He's pouring out a bowl of wrath. It's a picture. Remember, it's a figurative language. Second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea. And it became as what? Remember the water turns to blood? This is what He's telling you about. He poured out His vial, His bowl, upon the sea. And what happens to it? It says in, He pours it out, and it became the blood as the blood of a dead man. Every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial, that's his bowl, upon the rivers and the fountains of waters. And they became what? What's it say they become? He's turning all the water to blood. Everybody see it? Wouldn't it be a frightening thing? He's turning all the waters to blood. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters. They become blood. Now, I want you to look up here at me just a little bit. I want you to get this. We've seen Him turning all the water to what?
Blood.
Turns it all to blood. Now, what I want you to do is read verse 6 silently. And then I want you to notice why He turned the water to blood. Tells you right there in the text. Verse 5 says, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, was, and shall be, because Thou hast judged this. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are worthy. All God's people said. That's why He turned all the water to blood. He's going to do that. You really believe that He's going to do that? Absolutely He's going to do it. He's going to turn all to blood. And one reason why He's doing it is because of the way this world has treated His people. It's always persecuted His people. Beloved, this world isn't our home. This place isn't our home. We got a new heavens and a new earth coming. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's my home. The Bible says that we are pilgrims and strangers here. We're just passing through. And one of the things that we need to remember, in many parts of the world today, God's people are still being persecuted. I don't know where they got the stats. I usually don't give you stats, frequent or up-to-date stats, because I don't know a whole lot of them, but I did read that last year they give a number of 90,000 Christians were put to death last year, worldwide. That's the number that they gave, 90,000. I thought that was very interesting. So what it is, how can I say this not? We live in an ivory palace. And a lot of these things in these other nations where there's all this false religion, we don't know what all goes on. Is God's people still dying for the cause today? Still it is. And we'll continue. Could it turn that way here? Absolutely. It could turn real quick. It can turn real quick. Is it a good thing? In some ways, it's a good thing. I mean, I hope it stays the way it is as far as freedom is concerned. But you know one thing it does? It gets rid of all the fence straddlers. You don't get in it unless you're dedicated and without God's giving the strength to do it. We're going to stop with that. I'd like to go further, but that's seal number five. Everybody got seal number five. That's persecution of God's people. Still going on? Could get a whole lot worse before this thing's all done. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention.